Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Is your heart broken today over circumstances that have arisen because of living after the flesh or because of poor decisions that you have made? Maybe your heart is broken over a failed relationship or the loss of a loved one. The Lord is near you. Turn to the Lord and pour out your heart to Him. Repent and purpose in your heart to follow Him. The Lord will really save you. He will turn things around. Please open your Bible to Psalm 34, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes our study.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy.
Verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I love the book of Proverbs. It's a book that tells us how to fear the Lord practically. And when you read the very first chapter, right out of the gate, there were individuals that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, unfortunately, there are those who have a passive approach to the Word of God. Some people sit in their Bibles, read their commentaries, and wait for God to blast them with the fear of Him. No. Fearing God is something that can be learned. In fact, the more that you know Him, the more that you love Him, the more that you're going to fear Him. They're not opposites. They go hand in hand. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, if you will receive my words, hide my commandments, incline your ear unto wisdom, apply your heart to knowledge, apply your heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, seek her for as you were seeking silver, search for her as for hid treasures, then you're going to understand the fear of God. The fear of God. The fear of God is what? It's to hate evil. It's to hate pride. It's to hate arrogancy. It's to hate that traitor in me. Fearing God. The fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, it's the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Do you ever pray that, Lord, teach me how to fear you? He will. He will. How many of you desire life, many days, and you want to see good? See, some of you have read ahead. You're thinking, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't know if I like the rest of that. Oh, I like verse 10, or verse 12. I like that. But I don't know about verse 13, the first part. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know, our brother James in the New Testament has quite a bit to say about our tongue. So does the book of Proverbs. And you and I know that our tongue is not a very big part of our body, but it sure can get us in a whole lot of trouble. James tells us that the tongue can stir up the fires of hell. The Bible tells us that it can be used as an instrument to destroy. In fact, James would tell us, if any man among you seems to be religious and doesn't know how to bridle his tongue, that man's religion is vain. Isn't it interesting? So, one key for a good life and seeing good days comes from having a spirit-controlled tongue. In Psalm 19, verse 14, we read, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep your tongue from evil. If you want to know what God considers evil, just go through the Proverbs as a beginning and begin to circle or underline anything that God says is evil. And tell your tongue, don't go there. Pride, arrogancy, sowing discord, whispering, gossiping, backbite, murmuring, complaining. Don't go there. Don't go there. That's what the Bible says. That's one of the ingredients. Lord, set a watch I think it's Psalm 141 says, Lord, set a watch upon my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Oh, if we would only imagine how much, what a difference that would make on this planet if everybody prayed before they said anything. What a difference that would make in our marriages. What a difference that makes in a fellowship. I'm not going to give my tongue to evil. I'm not going to say that. That's poison. It's poison. I was reading this verse today and what I was preparing for Sunday, and I wrote something down. So this is, I'm going to let you into a little insight. So I write things down that really, they mean something to my heart. Okay, ready for this? This may hurt a little bit, but let me put it out there. I put down here, I would rather pastor a church of repentant alcoholics, prostitutes, drug dealers, drug addicts, fornicators, adulterers, and thieves than a church full of self-righteous, holier-than-thou, unrepentant gossip slanderers who sow discord and division. All right? So that's part one. Part two, depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil. Even abstain from the appearance of it. Seek peace. Pursue it. I love Micah 6:8. Well, God has showed you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. C.S. Lewis said this, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Wow, what a V8 day it is in the Christian life when you realize, hey, the universe doesn't revolve around me. Wow, I'm no longer king. That's great. That is wonderful. God looks. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know, Peter quotes this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He quotes this that we just talked about. So this is church stuff. This is just not Old Testament Israel stuff. This is church stuff. But he says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In the scripture, whenever a person rebels in their heart against what the Lord says is right, that's evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You recall how in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 13, it was written about Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels came down and says, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. But the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. How many times has David talked about crying out? Crying out. Crying out. You know what it's like, don't you? The righteous. Who are the righteous? It's those who are in Christ. That's who the righteous are. Those who realize that they're not righteous. Those who realize that they're not worthy. That's the irony of the gospel. The gospel is for the unrighteous, the unworthy. Not those who think they're righteous and think they're worthy. Through faith in Christ, we're righteous. And because of that imputed righteousness that we have in Christ, he calls us righteous. In other words, when God looks at you and me tonight through faith in Christ, he sees us in Christ, justified, forgiven, totally forgiven, righteous because of what Christ has done for us. If you or I think that our righteousness has anything to do with what we've done, you haven't even understood what it means to possess the righteousness of God. It has nothing to do with you. It's all him. The righteous cry. The Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto those that are of a broken heart, and he saves those that are of a contrite spirit. The Beatitudes, how do they begin? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. The Lord is near those who are of a broken heart. Now, many times when we get our hearts broken for many reasons, we get overwhelmed with emotion, don't we? It's very normal. And if we're not careful, that emotion, depending on what is the reason for the broken heart, the devil can really capitalize on it and say, well, if the Lord loved you, or whatever, fill the blanks. So, is your heart broken tonight because of poor decisions that have been made that you've repented of? Is your heart broken tonight because of decisions that others have made? Maybe your heart is broken over the loss of a loved one, a broken relationship. You know, when is the time that you and I are most likely to wonder where the Lord is? Many times it's when our heart is broken, or when we get disappointed, or when we're overwhelmed. But here David says that that's exactly when the Lord is nearest. When your heart is broken, that's when I'm closest. When your heart is overwhelmed, that's when the Lord is saying, hey, come on, Raymond. I love that. I love that about the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know that in the upper room, Jesus is going to tell these men, this is the end of the upper room discourse in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. The last verse before the high priestly prayer is this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. They're probably thinking, right. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh no. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Want to have a fascinating Bible study? Go home and take out your old Cruden's Concordance, if you still have a paper concordance, or your Strong's Concordance, or your Google search, and look at the words in the New Testament, be of good cheer, and find the context every time Jesus said to somebody, be of good cheer. Guess what? They were overwhelmed. They were bummed out. They were feeling anything but cheerful. You know what he said? Be of good cheer. I'm here. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, Paul. You feel like you're in prison. But I'm telling you, I'm getting you out of there because I've got a lot of people for you to preach to in this city. Be of good cheer tonight, saints. You see, now if you're thinking be of good cheer, that I'm thinking about your circumstances, you haven't heard anything that the Lord has said. Be of good cheer because he's here. Be of good cheer because he's near. Be of good cheer because he's there with you. You know, you'll never be alone again if you're really a born-again believer. Because Jesus was forsaken, he told you and me, you'll never be forsaken. It's amazing, the older that I get, how everything goes back to the gospel. It just goes back to the gospel. It all goes back to the gospel. It doesn't get any deeper than the gospel. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So right here is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. You know how when he was crucified, they did not break any of his bones. And if you go back and read the study of the sacrifices, the lamb that was sacrificed could not have had a bone broken. John 19:36 says, for these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Verse 21, two more verses. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. You see, every sin has a destructive element in it. You see, sin, which is evil, destroys. It just simply destroys. It destroys your body. It destroys your mind. It destroys relationships. It destroys your sense of values. It destroys nations, ministries. Tim Keller said this, sin is the suicidal action of the self against itself. Sin destroys freedom because sin is an enslaving power. It's contrary to the purposes of God. And it's only by God's grace, through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our hearts are really changed and we are set free and put on a course that is free from a life of sin and destruction. Aren't you glad for that? It's like he plucked us out. I like how he says, he plucked us out of a miry pit. Boom! He puts us over here. The Bible says the way of life is above to the righteous. I like that. It's above. It's above. It's not here on this earth. We're just passing through. You realize that, right? This is we're here for a purpose. We're here to be salt, to be light. And don't let anybody bamboozle you about the church. The church is salt and light. We are to be counterculture, not conform to the culture. That's what salt is. That's what light is. Counterculture. And it's scary to me when you see ministries and churches finding what does the Johnny Q public like and then adapting their ministry, their sanctuaries, everything to draw them in. I don't get it. We are a counterculture society. The Bible says a city set upon a hill can't be hid. You know what that means? You can't be an island believer. There's a lot of island Christians. Oh, I'm just going to do my own thing. Really? You ever see a city with a population of one? That means us, you, me, us, all that are in Christ. We're salt. We're light. Sin is destructive. We all know that, and we don't want to go there, but thank God for the gospel, right? Last verse. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, as we close tonight, I was reading in my office today, Romans chapter 8. Verses 31 through 39. And somehow these passages just exploded to me. It kind of like a New Testament commentary of what the psalmist wrote. Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that great? Now, how many of you, I don't want to bum you all, how many of you have people that are against you tonight? They just don't like you. They want to get you. Now, okay, they're out there. But you know what that means? If God be for you, who can be against you? They don't get a vote. They don't get a vote. So, let the list grow. If God be for you, how many of you know he is? Who can be against you? Okay. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? Oh, those that are against you. Right? Who? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Oh, those people that are against you. And sometimes we do a good job of condemning ourselves, don't we? You see, but that's still selfishness. That's still self-centeredness. I'm going to beat myself up. God, if you're not going to, I will. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Nope. Sword? Nope. Peril? Nope. And then this verse, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What's that talking about? Well, what did Jesus say? Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. You know what he's talking about? The killing? The killing is that old man. The old ways, the old life. He's dead. He's dead. That old man is dead. Sometimes I love running into my old friends. Ray, how you been? How's the old man doing? Well, he died a long time ago. What? The old man is dead. Our life is now hid with God in Christ. That's our life. It's above. It's not here. It's down. It's our treasure's up there. Everything's up there. This is just, we're just passing, we're just pilgrims. We're just sojourning. We're having a staff meeting this morning talking about, part of the staff meeting, this is real spiritual. We're talking about teeth. Because someone was having some severe, serious teeth procedures done today. So we prayed for them. And we're talking about teeth, and I said, you know what? I'm getting a new set. So I'm not going to waste what income I have to make me look better when it could be going to saving a soul and winning them for the kingdom of God. I'm going to get a whole new set. If it ain't painful, I don't care. But that's just me. I'm not telling you that if you have a dental appointment tomorrow that you shouldn't do that. That's just me. And boy, though, that new set is going to be so nice. It's going to be so nice. Beautiful. You see, because you can do all of those things to make yourself look better, but you're still feeding corruption. It's still going to ink stay eventually. So we're killed. Self. That's the problem. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? And yet the devil will challenge those words when those things happen to you and me. I want you to notice something real quickly here from Romans. Did you notice that Christ's intercession for us does not stop the hardships of life that are mentioned? Doesn't make life and the consequences of sin go away. You and I, as believers, we really suffer at times. We really have hardship. We have disappointment, don't we? We get sad. We have all of the gamut of emotions. Don't ever try to mask it up. Job was a righteous man. He lost almost everything except for his wife. And he cries out to the Lord, and he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with sorrow and grief. People would say, well, he lost his victory. No, that's the cry of victory. That's the cry of God, you're on the throne. You're in control. And Lord, tonight we are so thankful that in the midst of our sorrows and pains and difficulties that you are on the throne. And I pray that however you choose to use, Lord, this psalm and your word to minister to people here tonight or watching online, I pray, Father, that you would just take these words and plant them into the depth of the hearts and the souls and the minds and the emotions of those that maybe are hanging on by a thread. Let them know, Lord, that you are that thread and that they can hang on to you. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. And thank you that you are coming again soon to take us home. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.